This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, here we go on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Nice to have you aboard on a Saturday morning as we give you the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. Charlie will join us on the Progressive guest line momentarily. He's out growing the game in the Dominican Republic with a few of his pals from Argentina, so we'll hear about that in a moment. And what a month it's been for the country of Argentina. First, their national soccer team brings home the World Cup. Then last week, Mateo Fernandez de Oliveira wins the Latin America Amateur Championship in Puerto Rico at Grand Reserve. That punched him a ticket to this year's Masters, U.S. Open, and Open Championship at Royal Liverpool, which is just a surreal moment for Mateo, being that Roberto Di Vincenzo became the first Argentine to win a major championship at Royal Liverpool at the 1967 Open. So, you know, that holds a special plate in his heart. I digress. I'll be talking to Mateo later today, an exclusive conversation that you'll be able to hear on the Charlie Epps podcast page on Apple Podcasts or Spotify by Sunday or Monday. And you'll also hear it next Saturday during the live program. Mateo is a senior at Arkansas, and I know he was on a few other shows this week, but this one's going to be pretty special because we're catching Mateo right after he just played 54 holes at Augusta National on Thursday and Friday. He had a member invite him right after he won the Latin American Amateur. So we'll hear about his experience going down Magnolia Lane and also the thrill of winning that golf tournament. 1-800-224-2004 is the number, and we have a ton to do today as far as the world of golf is concerned. Once again, the Golf Doctor will join me at 8:15, followed by Golf Digest Top 50 instructor Billy Harmon at 8:35. Billy's coached some of the greats of the game, like Jay Haas, who won the American Express back in 1988. And Billy is currently the director of golf at Toscana Country Club in Indian Wells, California. And he's going to give us the latest from the American Express Championship as the PGA Tour begins the West Coast swing in Palm Springs before it moves to Torrey Pines next week, followed by the Pebble Beach Pro-Am and the Wasted Management Phoenix Open, which is in Scottsdale on Super Bowl weekend. So what a stretch of golf we have coming up over the next several weeks before the tour moves to the Florida swing. It'll be great to get Billy's perspective on the new year. And here's the order of play for today. Number one, we'll briefly review Siwoo Kim's fourth PGA Tour title last week at the Sony Open to close out the Aloha Swing. Former Mizzou standout Hayden Buckley started Sunday with a two-shot lead before Siwoo fired a final round 64 to win it at Wiley by a single shot. He started the day with three birdies, and then he put Buckley away with an electric 30-foot chip on the 71st hole. Siwoo said in the post-round presser that he played the final round like he had nothing to lose, and that was on full display through the entire final round. And I won't have Siwoo circled on my calendar for players who I think will win a major this year, although we do tend to forget that in 2017, Siwoo became the youngest player ever to win the Players at 21 years old. Remember, he came from behind at Sawgrass that year to beat Louis Oosthuizen by three shots. Siwoo just hasn't displayed that he can putt consistently enough over 72 holes to win a major championship. He has shown over the last year that he's become one of the premier players in the world. He's the defending champion at this week's American Express. And Siwoo put on an absolute clinic at the President's Cup back in September. So we'll get the Golf Doctor's thoughts on the number 8 ranked player on the FedEx Cup standings a little later on. Number 2, LIV Golf strikes a deal with a multi-year deal with the CW Network. I'll be curious to get Charlie and Billy Harmon's thoughts on that. The deal marks the first ever national sports broadcasting contract for the network. You'll be able to watch LIV Golf on only the CW app for the opening round, and then the final two rounds will be aired on CW's cable channel on Saturday and Sunday. LIV was, you know, obviously in a desperate situation to get the product on cable television, but when you really dive into the numbers, YouTube has a reach that towers over the CW network. YouTube has a 2.6 billion person reach. That's how many monthly users they have. And the CW network is in 122 million homes, and its app has about 90 million viewers. So from a reach perspective, Liv is actually doing a disservice to themselves by making the switch from YouTube to CW. And, you know, since Liv will have to pay production costs to CW and will not receive any rights fees from the network, it's tough to see how they make any money off this unless they have advertisers ready to go. We know that most club companies are out on the Liv product. Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka were not featured in TaylorMade's 2023 television and social media ads. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the advertising and revenue situation is for Liv in 2023. We'll get to Golf Doctor's thoughts on that in a few. And number three, Ian Poulter and Sergio Garcia gave us an early sign that neither one of them would compete in Ryder Cups to come. This comes after the European Ryder Cup Twitter did not wish Ian Poulter or Sergio Garcia a happy birthday. And, you know, we won't spend too much time on that because what an immature joke that is from Poulter and Garcia, who knew if they signed the deal with Liv, their Ryder Cup chances were seriously in jeopardy. Get over the fact that, just from a moral perspective, the Ryder Cup would not put up with that. But also because Liv Golf does not get official world golf ranking points and they don't get Ryder Cup points. So how are you supposed to qualify? So, you know, we'll fill you in on that. Number four, we'll brief you on the DP World Tour season opener, which is currently underway at Yas Links in Abu Dhabi. Francesco Molinari, Minwoo Lee, and Shane Lowry are all in a tie for lead at 13 under. So you got a couple open champions in Molinari and Lowry at the top of that leaderboard. I'll do the same for the LPGA season opener out at the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions, where Brooke Henderson's the Canadian holds a 4-shot lead over world number two Nelly Korda. So Korda made headlines after her response to Lake Nona not providing women's lockers until Thursday. And she also talked about how, more folks need to tune into the LPGA this year. So I'll discuss that with you and also give you the headlines you need to know going into the LPGA season. And, this is the part of today that I'm really most looking forward to. At 8:45, 23-year-old Cole Hammer will join us. Cole is a former world number one amateur out of the University of Texas, where he led the Longhorns to a national championship in 2022. We'll hear from Cole about his last three PGA Tour starts, including his top five finish at the RSM Classic, and we'll get some big news about what he has coming up. And finally, I'll give you everything that you need to know for the weekend at the American Express out in Palm Springs, where five of the top 10 players in the world are midway through competition. Remember, it's a 54-hole cut, so players have one more round, then everyone will play after the cut, everyone will play the final round at PGA West. And this is a tournament that has not attracted the strongest field in recent years, and it has nothing to do with the golf courses. PGA West, the Nicklaus course, and La Quinta CC are all beautiful golf courses, and the weather is perfect every year. But, this field has been historically weak because it's a pro-am and groups are playing 5.5-hour rounds, and that's not something that most players want to put up with. But, the American Express, it's still not one of the elevated events on the PGA Tour schedule. But wow, what a field this week. Commissioner Jay Monahan played the Thursday Pro-Am with Scottie Scheffler and Tony Finau and, called Palm Springs a special experience and a magical place to be. And I think through three events of 2023, Monahan has to be absolutely thrilled with the product on the golf course. You had world number four Jon Rahm win the Tournament of Champions in what was his fourth win in his last five starts. Siwoo Kim asserted himself as one of the premier players in the game last week with his fourth career win at the Sony Open. And, now we have an elite leaderboard in Coachella Valley. Impressive work from 23-year-old Davis Thompson, who opened with rounds of 62-64 in a 36-hole stretch that included five eagles, unheard of. His first round was played at La Quinta. His second round was played at the Nicholas. And the 2021 SEC champion out of Georgia is looking for his first PGA Tour title. He had a great year on the Korn Ferry Tour last year as he won the Rex Hospital Open in Georgia on his 23rd birthday. This is a guy with a ton of firepower as he's ranked 11th in driving distance on the PGA Tour. He finished 9th in Napa and 12th in Vegas earlier this year. And, you know, he's proven on every single level that he can win in the big moment. But let's see if he can get it done with world number four, John Rahm, breathing down his neck. I mean, Rahm, what a year this guy's having. Sits just two shots back of Thompson and is making his first start since winning for the fourth time in five events at the Century Tournament of Champions at Kapalua. Rahm won this tournament back in 2018. And, you know, I have a lot of people asking me, you know, could Rahm really win five events in six starts? And the answer is absolutely. I think he's going to assert himself as, you know, one of the five needle movers of the game alongside Tiger, Rory, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth this year. And I certainly think that John Rahm finishes this year as the number one player in the world. Let's take a quick break so I can tell you about my friends over at Swing Sound. And let me tell you something, y'all all have to go download the Swing Sound app. One thing that all amateurs and weekend golfers struggle with is consistent rhythm and tempo in the golf swing. You either swing the club too slow or too quick, especially under pressure when you have a big putt to win your weekend skins game or a late afternoon match against a buddy. And what Marius Filmata, the founder of Swing Sound Golf, has figured out is that almost all bad golf shots are caused by bad tempo, because study results show that all good golfers share a common and consistent rhythm when they swing the club. Whether it's your driver, irons, or putting, good shots are a product of good rhythm. Folks, ever since I got the Swing Sound app, it eliminated any need for a golf coach. Do yourself a favor and take control of your golf performance and establish your swing tempo by downloading the Swing Sound app, available for only $4.99 on the App Store or Google Play. When we'll come back, we'll hear from Charlie Epps on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll see you right after this on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston, brought to you by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Nice to have you aboard on a Saturday morning. 1-800-224-2004 is the number to get in here and discuss the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. Last segment, I reviewed Siwoo Kim's fourth career PGA Tour victory at the Sony Open. In case you missed that, you can find the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN975.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. We now head over to the Progressive Guest Line and welcome in the man himself, Charlie Epps. Charlie, what's the word, my friend?
You know, the word is you're one heck of a broadcaster.
Did you catch a little bit of the first segment there?
Yeah, you're giving all the information. You're wonderful.
I've got your stamp of approval.
You got it, my man.
Charlie, I have to first get your thoughts on the Argentine who won the Latin American Amateur Championship. I mean, Mateo Fernandez de Oliveira, he earned himself an exemption to the Masters, the U.S. Open, and the Open last week after winning that prestigious amateur title. You know, Argentina holds such a special place in your heart. What were your thoughts seeing that Mateo was able to close it out after finishing runner-up last year?
I was just so excited for him because he's a friend. I know him. He talked. We were going to give him a scholarship from the Charlie F. Foundation, but he's got enough scholarship because of academic and sports. He's a great young man. He's going to Arkansas. He left his country and he came up to better himself. But the big story is a few years back, Augusta, the Royal and Ancient, and the USGA got together and planned a tournament that is played worldwide, South America and Asia. I mean, it's developed young kids and gave them a chance to play golf at the highest level. And as you can see, Mateo didn't make bogey. I mean, and he was, what, 28 under par for his victory. I mean, and so, but that's college golf, and they now the PG the Masters is letting in the champion of the NCAA. So it's all so good promoting golf, and the youngsters are taking advantage.
Yeah, you know, it was really impressive to see Mateo, you know, keep his composure down the stretch of the back nine on Sunday. He made the turn, you know, with, I think, a two-shot lead, and he didn't just try to coast in, Charlie. He shoots, you know, three under on the closing nine to hold off Luis Carrera, who had birdied seven of his last 13 holes. I mean, these guys were going low, and I thought Mateo really held his own.
Well, he did, and it's really a flag in Arkansas's golf program. The University of Arkansas, McMacken, and his group are really, you know, taking boys and making them into men. And he's in his, I think, junior, senior year. And hats off to the Arkansas golf program.
Charlie, turning over to what's happening out in Coachella Valley, I'm really looking forward to hearing from Billy Harmon here in a little bit. But, you know, 23-year-old Georgia alum Davis Thompson is in full command at the Desert Classic. And, Charlie, how about this leaderboard at the Amex? It's not one of the 17 elevated events on the schedule. And before the season, you heard the jingle. Everyone was talking about how the non-elevated events on the PGA Tour would sink. And now you have John Rahm, Jason Day, Sung J.M., Xander Schauffele, Justin Rose, Patrick Cantlay, Siwoo Kim, who won last week, Sam Burns, and Scottie Scheffler, all in the top 20 on this leaderboard. I'd say the game is in pretty good hands, wouldn't you?
It is in great shape. I mean, the PGA Tour has got their stuff together, and they're doing things the right way, and the players want to play, and especially in Palm Springs, it's a great place to have spring training, get their games in shape for the spring run to the Masters, and that's a perfect golf course, golf courses for that kind of you know, trial and error. But you know, on Thursday there were 129 guys under par. 129 under par, and the low round was 10 under. These guys have gotten so good, and when the conditions are perfect, no wind, perfect greens. The desert plays a little short because of the thin air, so it's a great warming tool. And you know, it was a Bob Hope's tournament that started all of this, so it's a great event.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the cut is going to look like after today, and it might get all the way up to 9 or 10 under, of course, because, you know, it's a 54-hole cut. But, Charlie, I'll tell you who's not having a dream start to the year is the LPGA Tour. According to Golf Week, LPGA officials had to bring in 36 lockers for female players out at the LPGA season opener. Now, I remember you telling me a story, Charlie, from way back when club professionals were playing at the PGA Championship and they were not given lockers. Can you tell me about how all of that changed and maybe what the LPGA can do to change that issue that they had this week?
Well, they just had a mistake, and they were delivered late. And I think too much is being made out of nothing. But back in 1920 at the U.S. Open at Inverness, in Toledo, Ohio, the great Walter Hagen pulled up in front of the club in his Rolls Royce, and he was really a dapper Dan. And he asked the gentleman tending the front door, he says, "Tell me where the locker room is." And the locker room, the attendant says, "Sir, the professionals aren't allowed in the locker room." He says, "Okay, that's all right. I'll dress in my Rolls Royce." But then the president of the club heard this, what had happened, and he had an emergency board meeting, and they allowed the players in, and that was a groundbreaking day for professional golf. So we have things that happen all the time, starting from 1920. And at the end of the tournament, the pros got together, and they bought Inverness a beautiful grandfather clock, and they put a nice saying, "Thank you for the warm reception and allowing the golf professionals into your club." So, but what happened this week, it making a mountain out of a molehill. It was just a mistake. that had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, yeah. Annika and Nelly, they both said it was an overreaction as well. But yeah, but there's a lot to focus on. There's a lot of positives to focus on for this year's LPGA Tour season. The LPGA is in for a record year as golfers will compete for a record purse of $101 million, Charlie, including record purses for the KPMG Women's PGA and the Women's U.S. Open, which will be played at Pebble Beach for the first time in history. Okay, I think we lost Charlie momentarily. But, you know, moving along with the LPGA conversation, I think everyone is juiced to see if Nelly Korda can regain that number one position after having to miss 4 months last year with a blood clot in her right arm. You know, that was a scary situation, but she had a gritty return at last year's U.S. Open where she finished eighth. Then she went on to win the Pelican Women's Championship in November, which got her back to number one for a few weeks. But current number one Lydia Ko had something to say about that as she won three times over the course of last season, including the largest schedule at the CME Tour Championship. So Ko is the current number one of the women's game. I'm particularly fired up for the golf courses that are hosting the women's majors this year. And once again, we'll get the golf doctor back on the horn in just a second because I'm curious to get his take on what he thinks about the progression of the club at Carlton Woods, a course that's going to host the Chevron Championship for the first time. Charlie, I got you back with me there, my friend.
Yes, sir. I don't know what happened, but it's good to be back.
Well, I was just talking about the Chevron champion. I was talking about the women's majors and how it's going to start right here in Houston at the Club of Carlton Woods for the Chevron Championship.
Yeah, it's so exciting to have the ladies major come to our area. The Carlton Woods Golf Course, the Nicklaus Golf Course, is going to be a great venue for this tournament, for the ladies to come in and show us all what they can do. I can't wait. I'll be out there every day cheering them on. And this is in the Woodlands, and it is their major. And it left the Palm Spring area. It ran its course. I don't know if they're going to have a lake to jump in this year, but they will have a great golf course to play. And the ladies are really, really getting good.
And then Baltusrol's lower course will host the second major at the Women's PGA. Pebble Beach will host the U.S. Open. The Evian Resort, of course, as always, will host the fourth Women's Major of the year. And then Walton Health Club will host the British Open. Charlie, LIV Golf finally signed a multi-year TV deal with the CW Network, but will have to pay for production costs and will not see a dollar of rights fees. I would have said a cable deal with FS1 or a sports channel would have been beneficial, but you know the CW is most known for showing TV shows that only last about a year. What do you think about this TV deal real quickly in about 30 seconds?
Well, LIV is just trying to get their picture on the tube, and this is the only way they could do it. It'll grow. Let's hope it does. It's be good for golf.
Charlie, stay right with us. We'll have Billy Harmon joining us on the other side live from Coachella Valley right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, Sports Map Radio Network, and ESPN 97.5 Houston, brought to you by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Great to have you aboard as we break down the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. And last segment, me and Charlie broke down a couple of the topics around the world of golf, plus... I broke down LIV Golf's new TV deal with CW Network. In case you missed that, you can find it on our podcast at ESPN975.com, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify at the conclusion of today's show. And Charlie, before we get to Billy Harmon, how about a quick word from our friends over at Insperity?
Insperity, how about this for a mission statement? They want their clients to succeed so that their communities can prosper. They have a way about their business, taking care of their customers to make everybody succeed. You know, during this recent health and economic crisis in America, Insperity has helped their clients navigate through the chaos
and ultimately rises above the challenges and bottom line improves. So if you want to improve your bottom line for 2023 and you're a small business owner, and I don't care, it's from 1 to 100, Insperity is the place to go to. Call, talk to their professionals. They will give you an overview of what they can do, especially with the HR, for the HR that makes a difference. So it's my pleasure to have them as my sponsor for so many years, and I know it'll be your pleasure to have them as your partner in business. Insperity, Insperity.com.
And we now head over to the Progressive Guest Line and welcome in top 50 ranked teacher in the world. He's the coach of Jay Haas, who won the American Express back in 1988, and he's now the director of golf at Toscana in Palm Springs, which is right down the road from the Desert Classic. Billy Harmon, great to have you aboard. How are things out west?
Great. Good morning, guys. Yeah, things are terrific, and I've got a real shootout going on out here. It's the Birdie and Eagle Fest.
Billy, it was unbelievable. On Thursday, there was 124 guys under par in the whole field. I mean, and I know the conditions are perfect, but these guys, with the ball, with the clubs, with the condition of the golf course, they're really good, aren't they?
Well, I tell you, I know the courses nowadays are short for all these players and stuff, but these courses aren't quite that easy, I would say, and they certainly make them look easy. And you're right, Charlie, though, the conditions are perfect. There was no wind, the weather was great, but it's really incredible how wonderful these players are. They're just fantastic.
Billy, a lot has been made about the field Palm Springs has attracted, with five of the top 10 players in the official world golf rankings competing this week. World number 2, Scottie Scheffler, number 4, John Rahm, number 5, Patrick Cantlay, and number 6, Xander Schauffele, all in the field this week, as well as Zalatoris. And that's surprising to most, being that the American Express is not one of the 17 elevated events on the schedule. You know, Jack Nicklaus said that the 17 elevated events has divided the PGA Tour in two tiers, and that all of a sudden it feels like other tournaments have become feeders. But, Billy, it certainly feels like the Desert Classic has proven that idea wrong this week. How has this tournament been able to attract such a strong field?
You know, that's a good question. I think the fact that it's early in the year for a lot of the better players, and I think they like the fact that they can come here, going to have good weather, they're going to work on their games, and they're probably going to shoot some low scores, which probably makes them makes the tournament more attractive. But you got to give American Express and the organizers of the tournament credit, because there are a lot of good players here. And I think the idea that some of these tournaments might be feeders, I think there's a modicum of correctness in that. But this week, I think that the players that they attracted were fantastic. And, Rahm is up there in second place playing good. And the other little star, Tom Kim, is right there. And Shopley and all kinds of good players. So I think it's probably a combination of the weather, the courses, the organizers of the tournament, and the fact that it's earlier in the year, and it might give the players some time to work on their games a little bit in perfect conditions.
Charlie?
You've always enjoyed playing. You're a good player. You now with the new golf clubs, and you've been fitted for clubs, and you're tinkering with the clubs. What do you think of the top 3 or 4 changes in equipment today that's helping these players shoot these low scores?
Well, I think it's a combination of a lot of things, Charlie. You can probably remember years ago, probably 40, 50 years ago, people like my dad saying, one of these days a great athlete is going to play golf instead of a different sport. So now we have much better athletes playing golf. They have great instruction since they were 8 years old. The college programs are like AAA in baseball.
Yeah.
The physical fitness and all the knowledge, and this is all before we get to the equipment that has kind of gone through the roof for these guys. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but I think it starts at a very young age where they have great instruction. The AJGA junior program and their tournaments, college programs, Corn Ferry Tour. Now we have guys that when they get to the tour, they are so ready. It's unbelievable, and there's so many of them. Bill Haas said something the other day that when he started playing, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, you know, you'd look on the range, and there were a lot of guys you wondered how the heck they got on tour. He said, there's nobody that you look at now on the range that you wonder how they got on tour. He said, every player looks good, and they are good. And so I think it's a big combination player. I think the equipment for sure has played a big role in it, but I think it's much deeper than that. I think it starts because they all have great coaching at a young age. They're better athletes. They're in better shape. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but I don't know if there's ever been a time in golf where there's been more good players worldwide than there is now. And I also think it's kind of a difficult time for a young player to be a tour pro, Charlie, as you know, because if they don't get on the Corn Ferry or the DP Tour, the PGA Tour, there's no place for them to play. So it sounds very lucrative at the moment, but there's probably another 2,000 players that have the ability to be on the tour, and they really have nowhere to go.
that is for sure. Well, Billy, I'm getting ready to get on a plane to go down to Costa del Campo for a week and have a little fun with some kids I grew up with, but we're all 80. So I appreciate you coming on. Spend some time with Will, and we'll talk to you later before we get to the Masters.
Hey,
thanks a lot.
All right. Billy. Do you have a couple more minutes? I got a couple more questions.
No, I can go the rest of the show if you want. I'm all in.
Well,
I've been covered for Charlie a long time.
I was interested in a little bit more about the closing stretch of this of PGA West 16, 17, and 18, starting with that left greenside bunker on the 16th hole, which has seemingly taken the souls out of golfers over the years that have missed left with their second or third on that par 5 16th. We saw it yesterday from S.H. Kim, who took about five shots out of that bunker. How would you describe that closing stretch at PGA West?
Well, I think it kind of starts on the, I think the 13th hole is a par 3, really tough hole, very small green with the water. And then 14's a birdieable hole, 15's good. And then 16, 17, and 18, you know, we saw guys, you know, hitting it in the water on 17, at least I saw on TV yesterday. And 18, you know, but Will, the thing that's interesting to me, when they first started playing the stadium course, I was caddying on tour, and it was like the hardest course you ever saw in your life. And now guys are hitting wedges into holes that the players were hitting 3 and 4 irons. 18 was like the drive and a 5 iron back then. Now it's a 3 wood and a wedge or 9 iron. And so the distance that these guys are hitting it, you know, everybody shoots zero on this course, and it used to be the hardest course known to mankind. So I personally, and I know I'm in the minority, I don't like watching golf the way it is today. I don't like watching 20 under, 30 unders, and every hole's a driving a wedge, and every par 5 is a driving a 6 iron and stuff. I prefer the days when the scores are much higher, par had greater value. This is not to knock the kids or the people playing. They're really, really good. But I love it when they get to a hard U.S. Open course and pars become of great value. So I think I'm in the minority. I think I'm probably old school there. But, yeah, you know, you got 18 under leading after two rounds, you know, and they got two more to go. So they're probably going to be in the 30 under range that wins. I don't know. There's something about it. It's just, I think the course is...
Billy, well said. Hey, we got to cut to break. It was great to hear from you, my friend. We'll be right back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour and Sports Map Radio Network. Back after this.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, Here's Will Doctor.
All right, 15 minutes before the hour here on ESPN 97.5 Houston on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. And we now welcome in a former number one amateur in the world. He led the University of Texas to a national championship in 2022, finished fifth in the PGA Tour University rankings, and now swiftly climbing the ranks of professional golf. You saw him finish 27th at the Houston Open. You saw him finish fifth at the RSM Classic. And last week, he made his third consecutive cut on the PGA Tour at the Sony Open. Cole, welcome in. How's the week been after returning from Hawaii, my friend?
Well, what's going on? Thanks for having me. Good to be back in Houston for a few days. It was a whirlwind of a first week in Hawaii, and after the 8-hour red eye flight home, I've just been practicing and trying to get ready for Torrey Pines next week. I got a late spot, and so I'm heading out to San Diego tomorrow morning.
You know, first off, great news about Torrey. And if this was a year ago and you were a senior at Texas, I'm not sure I'd be bugging you at 8:45 on a Saturday morning. But, I mean, what can I say? You've made, the cut at your last three PGA Tour events. So now I know that you're getting somewhat accustomed to an earlier Saturday start.
Yeah, it's very safe to say that but I've been waking up a little bit earlier than I would have last year. We just need to start getting the later Saturday tee times. So maybe you won't be able to call me at 8:45 in the morning on a Saturday, but this is kind of the way it's going right now.
There you go. Well, let's go back to the fall, because I'm just obsessed with the way that Friday 65 in Houston changed the course of this season for you after a couple MCs to start this year. Was there any adjustments to your prep or your game that you made prior to the Houston Open?
Yeah, so previous to Houston Open, I played the Shriners in Vegas and played some pretty bad golf and missed the cut. And I was on the plane flight home and hopped on my phone and just started diving into my swing on video. And just there were some things that I had neglected for a while that I needed to kind of get back between the train tracks. And felt like I owned what I was doing and really believed in it, and I worked hard for about 3 weeks and came back and went to Q School in Savannah and saw some great progress. I was hitting it really solidly, putting the ball in the fairway a lot. It was a really tight golf course, and I knew coming into Houston that I was playing well. Didn't have my best stuff the first round. Felt like I played well. It just didn't show on the scorecard, and then finally, I had a great round when I needed it the most. And yeah, you're right, it really changed my fall and hopefully my spring as well. But it's been good stuff since then.
Yeah, I mean, 65 in Houston on Friday, then 71-68 on the weekend, and what was just a total masterclass performance after starting the week with a 4-over round. At what point did you know that you were getting into the RSM the following week?
I figured out. I had an inkling of an idea on Friday night after I shot 65 makes cut, but I didn't find out officially until Sunday night at about like 8 o'clock. I was the last man in the field, and I'd already driven to Dallas because I was going to fly to Seattle from Dallas the next morning, and so I took a gamble to hop in the car and drive for 4 hours, and it paid off.
And talk to me a little bit about how comfortable you were around those golf courses in Sea Island. I know you played a lot of amateur golf there. You finished fifth at the RSM, and the whole week, with the exception of just a few holes on Saturday, the whole week you looked locked in, especially off the tee and with the flat stick. Tell me about how comfortable you are around Sea Island.
Sea Island, as crazy as it sounds, feels almost like a second home to me. I've just played so much golf there. I played the Jones Cup 3 times. Before that, I played in the Junior Jones Cup. Even before that, I took a trip there and played some golf. I had been there at least 5 or 6 times beforehand. And the 3 times I played in the Jones Cup was in February. And, Sea Island, contrary to popular belief, does get some bad weather every now and then, and February is prime time for horrific rain and temperatures. So I'd seen some bad weather, and there was bad weather rolling in for the RSM, and I just figured that there was no way it would be any worse than the Jones Cup. So I prepared myself mentally for just for another Jones Cup, and I think that helped me get in the right mindset to play good golf despite the weather.
Well, I mean, Houston, you know, the weather was odd for early November, the RSM, some brutal weather. You know, luckily you got out to Sony, had some nice weather there, and you did that thing again on Friday at Wiley that you did in Houston. You shot 71 on Thursday in jeopardy of, you know, missing the cut, having to make that eight-hour flight early, and you posted 66 on Friday to keep the good vibes flowing. I mean, Cole, what is it about Fridays, man?
Friday's the best day of the week, right? We're working for the weekend. But, you know, in my sense, it technically work even more on the weekend. I don't know. I felt like I was hitting it well, and just needed a few putts to drop. And I had like a 30-foot putt on one drop for birdie. And sometimes when something like that goes in, you just figure that it might be a good day, and I tried to be somewhat conservative. Is there a bunch of birdie opportunities out there if you put yourself in the right spot? You know, I made some putts, and then I actually had really solid par saves on the back nine to stick around for the weekend. But yeah, I guess Friday is kind of my day right now.
Cole, do you watch golf when you aren't playing?
I do. I love everything about golf. I mean, I sat down and watched the Amex last couple days. But, you know, I'm not going to take away from my day just to go watch golf, unless it's obviously Masters Week, Major Championship Week. I mean, I'll sit down and dive into a little bit of live from on Golf Channel.
Yeah, and I ask because, you know, we're now 3 years into the PGA Tour University rankings. You've seen the benefits of it, and so has Davis Thompson, who's leading the way at the Amex. How do you feel about seeing younger guys get more opportunities based off their success in college?
I think it's great. I just think it was a necessary change. You know, it's easy to say that having the experience that I have, but, you know, I'm sure some of the veterans don't see it that way, but I just think that these guys coming out of college now are so good. I mean, you look at Davis Thompson, you look at all these guys who are making waves in the professional ranks, and, you know, there's a chance that some guys wouldn't be where they are now without the system, just because it's so hard to make it through Q school. I mean, you look at Jordan Spieth, he had a great college career, and he didn't make it through Q school. Yeah, he won. You know, he played well in his PGA Tour starts, but, you know, you really have, you know, let's say for like the 10th best senior coming out of college, you really only have 1 week to prove that you belong, and that's Q school. And if not, you pretty much have to wait a whole another year. So it's a great, I think PGA Tour U is just a great way to give guys a place to play coming out of school, and then, you know, just build on that confidence to hopefully one day make it on tour.
Cole, if there's last one for you, if there's one thing that you'd like to see improve in your game in 2023, what would it be?
Man, that's a good question. I think just maybe my wedge play a little bit. It was a little bit rusty towards the end of the year, and normally that's kind of the strength of my game, and I just got to get back to what I was doing, and you know, that'll take a little bit of pressure off here and there.
Cole, thanks for taking some time to join us today on a Saturday morning. We'll be pulling for you at Torrey Pines. Go have a great week of prep and safe travels to California.
Thank you, Will. We'll talk. Thanks.
That's Cole Hammer there on the Progressive Guest Line. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Great to hear from him. You know, this guy's fresh off three straight made cuts. A heck of a player out of Texas, and we'll be watching him next week at Torrey Pines. An update from the leaderboard over at the American Express. Davis Thompson leads the way after rounds of 62-64. Two rounds that featured five eagles. John Rahm is in second at 16 under, a solo. He's in solo second. You know, if I'm Davis Thompson, And Davis Thompson, first off, a guy that won the 2021 SECs. He's won at every level. He's represented the United States on a national level. But if I'm Davis Thompson, the last guy that I want to see breathing down my neck on Sunday in California is world number four, John Rahm. The guy's won four times in his last five starts. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Rahm comes back and wins it this weekend. And that's going to be my pick for you as we wrap up today's show. John Rahm to win the American Express. We'll see you next week on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, Sports Map Radio Network, ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. See you next week.